InfoWar and say, I don't know what's going to happen at the end of this, but you want to fight, you better believe you've got one!
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
This is incredibly comical, if it wasn't so serious, for the First Amendment. 3 weeks ago, the CRO appointed by the federal court tried to shut this building down without a court order. And then they denied it all over the news and said, I made it up. Then a few days later in federal court, they admitted it. Then a week and a half ago, they had another federal court hearing where the families, you know, the Democratic Party law firms, wanted me shut down that day and things liquidated. We agreed to have a liquidator come in appointed by the court to, quote, liquidate the company. So that news was there. That was us winning that motion. Now it's all over the news. The empire of lies finally ends. Alex Jones to be shut down. Let me just explain something to everybody. Everything you've been told by corporate media is a lie. None of it's been true. When they were trying to shut it down, I told you they were going to fail. And that they were trying it and they denied it. And then now I'm telling you that what you're seeing in the news is not accurate. And I'll just leave it at that. But there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, a lot of things unfolding. But here's the bottom line. The plaintiffs, the Democratic Party folks, openly have wanted to shut it down the whole time. They've never wanted us to stay on there. Under federal law, they're supposed to get money for a supposed grievance has happened. Even though the judges found me guilty and there were show trials, okay, they had their big judgment that's going to be overturned on appeal. And so now they're desperate to shut this place down because they don't want money. They knew there wasn't all this money they claimed. And so now they're being forced in the state courts to come in now and tell the state courts they want money. That's what's happening. So there's a lot of stuff that happens within that. So just sit back and watch the next few days, the next week or so. I'll be able to tell you what's really going on here. But InfoWars is hard to kill. And I'm hard to shut down. But InfoWars is just a building and my great crew and a name. Really, overall, it's me. But this is not a fun process. I didn't ask for all this. But at the same time, if I'm put in that position, I'm going to make hay while the sun shines. I'm gonna take lemons and make lemonade. But continually, the corporate media just seizes on headlines and deceives people all day long. But just remember, a couple weeks ago, I was lying. Nobody wanted to shut us down. And now, oh, I'm going to be shut down. So they are all over the map, just like the entire establishment. The American corrupt empire is dying. Not America. America's coming back. But the corrupt, evil influences that have hijacked our country, they are being exposed. Everything they do turns to pure crap. So InfoWars is only this building and equipment and our great crew. They can go anywhere. I can work anywhere. They're not shutting anything down. But it's all just a big, giant tug of war trying to close down this facility, which they see as some victory to mount our head on the wall or like a Roman standard they want to get. So, again, it was fake news. They weren't trying to shut us down. And now it's fake news that we're being shut down. I'll play this video in a few weeks. And you'll say, Alex Jones is tomorrow's news today yet again. Follow me at X at Real Alex Jones. Support our sponsors, DrJonesNaturals.com and InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you all for your support. And the revolution will be televised.
All right. I'm really excited about our next guest for the rest of the hour, Neil Oliver, an amazing talk show host out of Scotland in the UK. We got all these huge issues we're going to discuss. We're about to come right back. Please, whether you're listening on local radio stations, watching on TV, or the internet at Real Alex Jones, share the links now. That's how we overpower the censors. Really smart, prolific journalist, Neil Oliver, joining us coming up. Follow him at neiloliver.com and at The Coast Guy, like the ocean, The Coast Guy. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
We are in the middle of a crude and ugly communist revolution. funded by the big banks as a battering ram into a new age digital economy and a total surveillance state. All branches of government are attacking we the people, and they offer us only one option, a meaningless vote in a rigged election. What we can do is be prepared, and you can support the InfoWar by shopping at InfoWarsStore.com for products to help you through good times and bad. And you can share the videos at band.video. Our best hope still is, and always has been, a mass awakening. So download the videos, share them, upload them, and send them everywhere. Let the world unite for truth, justice, and 1776 worldwide.
You thought the leaden winter would bring you down forever, but you rode upon a steamer to the violence of the sun.
Broadcasting live from the UN stronghold, Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
And the All right, we've got an award-winning writer, broadcaster, podcaster joining us, Neil Oliver. He lives in Stirling, Scotland. He's written 14 books, presented 19 series on national broadcast, recorded two major broadcast series, hosted a live show on GBN News and Broadcast Weekly on his online channel, neiloliver.com. And at The Coast Guy on X. Neil, thank you for coming on. I've been a big fan for years, and you've been having a huge effect for many years, but you've really exploded. So congratulations with your commentary. It's right up there with Tucker Carlson, so we really appreciate you. And you were kind enough, because I have my own questions. They're very similar to yours, to send me some of the questions you wanted to go over. But how would you describe the state of the world right now? And then let's plunge right into it.
Oh, Alex Jones, it's a real privilege for me to be with you. So thanks so much for making time for me. What do I make of the state of the world at the moment? I think we're on the cusp of great change. A friend of mine said to me just the other day that although these are upsetting times, anxiety-inducing times, that there is everything to play for. I think the group that I describe as the baddies, I think those that have arrayed their forces against us, I don't think they have ever been as frightened as they are now. I don't think they have ever been as weakened as they are now. Perhaps most importantly, I don't think they've ever been as exposed to so many of us as they are right now. Those are the positives, you know, but obviously there's the escalating potential for war in Europe, which could go, according to some commentators, all the way up to global thermonuclear war. I have to say I doubt that very much myself. There's all of the trouble in the world. There's all of the moves towards round-the-clock digital surveillance, central bank digital currencies, digital IDs, social credit systems, and all of that nonsense. So the forces are arrayed, but I think it is absolutely the case that the baddies have made themselves so rigid, so ossified, so brittle, that it's like the glass that is shattered by the note that's struck by the opera singer. I think there is the potential now to bring all of it down around their ears.
Beautifully said. They are a cornered animal, rats leaving a sinking ship, but still have the arrogance that they had before mixed with the fear. What do you expect them to do next, and how do we stop them?
I think we have evolved. We have created an ecosystem, by which I mean we have to take responsibility ourselves. You know, baddies do what baddies do, but we have at least stood by, most of us have, I certainly have, while an ecosystem has developed that has allowed to thrive a psychopathic, parasitic, frightened, greedy entity. We have evolved an ecosystem that suits the psychopathic mindset. And they will do what they will do. But I think the internet, the work of people, personalities, particularly someone like you. I mean, I doff my metaphorical cap to you, Alex Jones, because I have, as I've been confessing to people for a while now, I only woke up to all of this in the last 3 or 4 years. I was shamefully oblivious for the longest time. You know, until I was about 53 years of age, I just wasn't paying attention. And I make no bones about it. And I trusted the establishment, broadly speaking. I wasn't really paying attention. And for me, it was a bit like, you know, if I'd been in a long marriage and suddenly I found out that my partner had been being unfaithful to me all along. That's why I am so angry now, because I trusted the other side. But I am ready to take responsibility for having trusted. I should have paid more attention much earlier. In terms of what happens next, I think that the baddies are playing with worn-out, blunted tools. You know, if the only tool you've got is a hammer, you treat everything as if it's a nail. And so we're not going to see anything sophisticated from them. Another very interesting commentator, Gerald Salentes, has said to me, you know, they take you to war when all else fails. So war works for them on a cyclical basis. When they run out of ideas, they take us into war. First World War, Second World War, wars throughout the second half of the 20th century, wars throughout the early decades of the 21st century, and so on. So we'll definitely see more of that. They are going to use the technology that's at their disposal to seek to enforce, you know, a round-the-clock, three-dimensional surveillance society. They will attempt to do that. They will attempt to take control of our money with central bank digital currencies that are programmable and all of that. But the point is that what might have happened 20 years ago or even maybe more recently, without us noticing, too many of us, well, not actually, perhaps not enough of us quite yet, but let's say enough of us are paying attention. If someone like me has noticed the confidence trick, if somebody like me has woken up to see the matrix, then it's available to be seen by so many more people. And so while these are very anxious, desperate, frightening, unsettling times, I think we've got them where we want them.
I agree, Neil Oliver. Let's go back to a really important point you made. The world, you know, just 100 years ago was almost all on farms, and people weren't stupid, but they were naive because they were projecting their own decency onto the power structure. So that allowed greater and greater corruption to build. And so really this system's built for kleptocrats. It's built for these sociopaths and psychopaths. It's really their system. And you're right. Just saying they're bad isn't enough. We have to build new systems. We have to come together. And there's a large minority that's awake. It's about to be a majority. That's why they're in full panic mode. Every piece of evidence shows that. So can you speak more to your point of this is their system? But as soon as we're awake and refuse their system, it must have our acquiescence. Even just a slight resistance will bring it down. I mean, look at the Blade Runners there in the UK, mainly in England, you know, out there with the carbon tax cameras everywhere, cutting them down. The system can't stop them. That's like a pinky finger in the fight, not a full hand, not arm, not a full fist. Imagine the full weight of what we would do non-violently, but still in civil disobedience.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you raised I'm so glad you invoked the Blade Runners. That's the group that are cutting down the ULEZ cameras, the ultra low emission zone, so called, that the mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, has imposed upon London. You know, you're charging people bringing vehicles of a certain age into the city. You know, it's just another way of taxing motorists. But unexpected, perhaps, a whole team of vigilantes has moved into the environment and is disabling the cameras. Anything from spraying, glue onto the lenses to taking angle grinders to the superstructure itself and cutting them down. And at any given moment, I think it's anywhere between 20% and 50% of these cameras are disabled at any one time. Apart from that, where people are driving into these ULEZ zones and receiving fines, an enormous number of the people receiving the fines are ignoring the fines. So over and above anything that the Blade Runners are doing to disable the cameras, even people that are being captured by those cameras that have been left standing, they're not paying the fines. So there is this massive, really, really significant civil disobedience. I think what's required, you're quite right, is to turn away. You know, I don't believe in revolution. You know, I'm very interested in history. And if you look back at history and reality, revolutions are never in reality of the people and by the people. You know, the English Revolution was not by the people. The French Revolution was not by the people. The Russian Revolution was not by the people. And it always
leads later into a Napoleon or a Hitler.
Yeah, they're perpetrated by the mob. The mob is a tool of the elite. The elite decide, one part of the elite decides at a given moment to knock another bit of the elite off of the perch to make room, and they exploit the mob, and then they reverse engineer it to make it look as if the people revolted. It never happens. I'm not one for pitchforks. I'm not one for that kind of activity necessarily. And in any event, I don't even think it's necessary. What is necessary is a turning away from these people. However major a task it might seem, it's about contemplating and then putting into action the building of alternative ways of doing everything. We have to re-educate our children, get them away from these indoctrination camps that are the state education systems and the private education systems. We have to break away from Big Pharma. And from big health, you know, that's in the business of keeping us fat and sick and unwell and unfit, you know, rather than inculcating and inspiring people to be healthy and to look after themselves, we have to find alternative ways in which to transact with one another. But in essence, what we have to do is turn our backs on these people. I remember the film The Horse Whisperer, you know, where the idea was that, you know, the horses are herd animals. And they don't like being ignored. They don't like being excluded from the herd. This parasite class, this psychopath class that we have bred, that we have allowed to thrive among us, they thrive on our attention and our fear and our absolute dependency. And when the moment comes when we turn away from them and deny them our fear, deny them our dependency, and we begin to do what we are on this planet to do, which is to take care of ourselves, to take care of ourselves, and to be responsible for one another, you know, to build communities, to turn our backs on centralized policies. We don't need policies. We don't need political parties. You know, we don't need these top-down, centralized, one-size-fits-all solutions to this idea that these simplistic solutions can be applied to the endlessly complicated reality of being human and alive. Every single one of us is on this earth to take responsibility first and foremost for ourselves, and then to link arms and take responsibility for one another, to maintain the family. So much of the activity out there by the baddies is to persuade people that there's no point in having a family, that there's no point in having children, that you're better off as some kind of isolated, atomized individual, when the reality is completely the opposite. You know, the more families, the better. The more children, the better. We've got plunging birth rates all around the place. And what we need are more of us. We educate ourselves. We take care of ourselves. We take responsibility for ourselves. And we turn away from these centralist, globalist, one-size-fits-all, do this my way or the highway.
Well, I totally agree with you, and Elon Musk is right about that as well. So you've exploded on the scene. I've been following you for years, but you're reaching hundreds of millions of people a week now. But this is critical for other people because you're a smart, caring, you know, intellectual guy, big, you know, successful TV producer and writer. Was it a gradual wake up for you, or was it COVID, or what finally woke you up?
Oh my goodness, Alex, you've asked the $64,000 question there. As I said in my opening remarks, I was asleep. I was preoccupied. You know, I've always been self-employed. You know, my preoccupations were always with paying the bills, paying the mortgage, looking towards the next job, looking towards the next contract. I was interested in the things that I was interested in, and I was not. I was not. I freely admit it, paying attention to what was going on. I've voted for these people before. I've voted for the incumbent prime ministers. I've been party to all of it. You know, I've been persuaded by the nonsense, and I was persuaded by the nonsense all the way down the line. You asked me the question, what was it that did it for me? And it was COVID. And, but it wasn't the start of, you know, when we started watching the footage coming in from China that we were being, you know, that was being pushed out as the propaganda, the footage that was coming out of Italy, which was what we started to see first of all in the United Kingdom, and I, like millions of other people, I looked on at it as a father of three, you know, with my wife and I, we looked on at it and thought, oh my God, what is this? And if the, we thought, if the government are telling us that it's terribly dangerous, then it must be, and we went along with it. You know, we trusted what we were being told. And then, it was a gradual process for us. In many ways, it was simple things. We realised that we didn't know. Weeks began to pass, and contrary to our expectations, courtesy of the propaganda, we didn't know anyone that had died of COVID. I still, 4 years in, don't know a single person who has died of COVID. I don't really think I know anyone who knows anyone who died of COVID. I do know plenty of people. Subsequent to what happened in 2021 with the rollout of the products that were marketed as vaccines that but were really gene therapies, I've seen the heart attacks, I've seen the strokes, I've seen the, you know, the accelerating neurological damage and all of the rest of it. But I didn't see anyone dying of COVID. Then when the nonsense started with the things like mandated masks, where you had to wear a mask to go into a shop, you had to wear a mask to get on a plane, then when they started to say, when the gene therapies were brought out at first and they were mislabeled as vaccines, safe and effective, lie after lie. To begin with, my wife and I, we thought, do you know, that's very quick to bring forward something like that. Let's just not bother just now. It's voluntary, so let's just leave it. Then it became increasingly coercive. People were being told, it's, you know, take the jab or lose your job. Take the jab or you can't have your social life. Take the jab or you can't get on a plane and you can't move. And as that began to evolve more and more quickly, my wife and I thought, for the first time in our lives, the establishment's out to get us. This is malevolent. This is malicious. There's something seriously wrong here. And we were starting to feel that somewhere during 2020 for the first time in our lives. And then middle of 2021, I got invited to be part of a team making a setting up a new television channel in the UK called GB News, and I was part of the first cohort of presenters for that show. And I finally, you know, I had at that point a platform from which to ask my questions and to make the points that I thought needed to be made. And it was, you know, it was from that point onwards that I've, you know, gradually developed to the point that you're describing.
So you were already starting to awaken. You got immersed with others that are awakening. But you had a key point here. You're not looking for power. You're a father. I'm the same way. You've got your job, your life. You're happy. And they thought they were bullying you before. You were just asleep. Once you figured out you were being bullied, then you got pissed off and woke up quickly, and now you're one of the most articulate people out there. I mean, you're right up there with the smart. I mean, it's true. I watch your show every day. I watch it every day. Me and my wife do, and we share the clips here because you say some of the most important on target points. And the good news is you woke up in just 4 years. That's got to scare the system. But do you agree with me that you were asleep before? They thought they were bullying everybody. That was their miscalculation. Now the bullying is only pissing people off.
Oh, 100%, Alex. I think I'm delighted. I'm very pleased to hear you say those, you know, to make those kind remarks about me. You know, coming from you, it means a lot to me to hear you say that. But I would say if I have any kind of, you know, unique selling point, I think I articulate simply things that everybody knows are true. There's something irresistible and independent about the truth. You know, I've said this before in other contexts. You know, sometimes in a situation, you hear yourself delivering a very effective line, and sometimes maybe, you know, in company, it makes a lot of people laugh around a table. And if you think about it, you didn't actually compose the line. It came to you instantaneously.
That's right.
Fully formed. And all you did was say it. That's because it's the truth. And everybody recognizes the truth. And the truth runs through every single person like lightning through a conductor. It just earths through you and you feel it. And I think that it's very kind of you to say what you've just said about me, but I know that I strike a common chord with just regular, real, decent, common sense people, and I know that because they
you're
write
saying
to
truth
me.
Is truth is addictive. It is, and
yeah,
once
I don't make it up. I'm not telling people. You know what's really what's a real pleasure when you listen to someone say something that's true. What it makes you realize, you're not learning something new. You're realizing that you knew that all along, but you hadn't realized. And that's what it makes you smile. It puts a tremor through you because you think, that's exactly right. But I already knew that. But this person has just channeled it for me. And that's all I think that's all that I've been doing. That, you know, people come up to me, and I have all these amazing encounters with people in the street where, you know, grown men come up to me and hug me in airports and on the street and stuff. And they say, you're saying exactly what I think. And I think in reply, I'm not actually telling you anything you didn't know. It's just a great relief.
No, you're knowing there's community and a community of the truth. It's a family.
Yes, and it just works, and I know that because we've been. I've said in other contexts that when the internet came into being in the 60s, I'm sure the people DARPA and the DOD and the guys at MIT they thought they knew what they were creating, but in that kind of Frankenstein's monster way, the thing took on its own reality and it began to have its own personality. And so I suspect that the intention was that the internet would be something that could be used to control us, to harvest information from.
Oh, you suspect, right. I can give you the documents. They thought it would be total control. About 10 years ago, they panicked and they said it's not working.
Well, it's because any blade has, you know, it's a double-edged sword. And what has happened through people like you, you've been at this for decades. You've been at this for a long time, exploiting in a good way the technology to reach so many people. And what has happened is that so many of us, and it was crystallized and it was brought to bear during COVID because people were locked down. They sent everybody home. They sent people into their houses for 23 hours a day. And said, just be in your houses. And so what did people do? They went online. They, for want of something else to do, they went looking for information. And the information is there. Trillions of pages of data are available to us. And really for the first time. So while on the one hand, the technology is there to enable for the first time on planet Earth global surveillance and global control, which is true, and that's the threat we face. But we can also use their weapon against them. And by God, those people have realized that they have created something that is being used against them every bit as effectively as they are using it against the people that they want to control. And so I have hundreds of conversations every week of all sorts of people all over the planet are able and are equipped and given the technology and the free software to share information, to do our own research, to find things out for ourselves and to tell each other. And now the baddies find that they've got a tiger by the tail because, you know, people like Henry Ford and Rockefeller at the start of the 20th century are on record as having said, we don't want educated populations. We just need drones to come and work in the factories. We just need people to do what they're told. We just need to deracinate people, break them away from their roots, take people away from their skills, and just have them do menial tasks in the factories so that they feel isolated.
But together we're rediscovering each other under pressure coming back.
And we are rebuilding ourselves. All of the parts that were atomized and broken down and separated one from another. The internet is enabling all of us to come
together.
You're
on fire. Let's go. Oh, gotta go to break. We're gonna come back right back to that point. You're right. The pit they dug for us is the pit they're falling into. We'll be right back. Let's go to Nurse Keith in Oregon. You're on the air. Welcome, and thanks for holding.
About an hour ago, you were kind of explaining to people about how the micronutrients and stuff that are available in different foods actually had an effect on...
Let's be clear. There isn't long-term billion-year evolution. There's jumps, but how you build a car, cars have evolved, or electricity or computers have changed. There is innovation, and humans do get ancestral memories from their ancestors. That's called instincts. Yes.
Not trying to brag, but I'm a board-certified wound care associate, which is not an easy certification to get. It takes years. And it encompasses, you know, cardiology, endocrine, pulmonary, you name it. You've got to be good at all kinds of stuff. And let's face it, a lot of my doctors, they don't know anything about this stuff. It's my job as a nurse to figure it out. And
the average medical doctor gets 2 hours of college education on nutrition.
So one of the things that I do is I'm looking for results. And by using very good nutraceuticals and supplements and things like that, I can fix a problem. Give you just a real quick example. Let's say you have a really bad wound on your leg and you have diabetes and poor circulation. Well, I can order you a bottle of Nitric Boost, a bottle of Vasobeat, and get your ass up on a treadmill a little bit. And but these things work better than any of the medication that we give. So I've got about 35,000 points because I give these things away as gifts.
Hold on. This is important. Patients. This is important. Absolutely. Just iodine alone, that's essential. It means you die without it. They don't tell you most people are deficient. 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities, the UN admits. That's what these concentrated plants and other compounds do. So you're saying you're taking care of people with wounds, one of the biggest medical industries out there, super tough job. You're seeing with nutrition, and also they need to not be sedentary, obviously. You're seeing massive effects, because I've actually read about this. I'm not an expert like you, but that there's massive problems because the doctors don't even say exercise or get out of the bed or take supplements that are good for your skin. And it's so simple. I mean, my wife takes supplements to have good hair and good nails, and it really works for her. I mean, this stuff works. It's the compounds. Tell people about some of the things you've witnessed.
Alex, I would not have 35,000 Patriot points if this stuff didn't work. I'm not into buying BS, and I don't push BS. When I've got a complex wound and I see something that you guys sell that I know perfectly fits, I love vitamin C and zinc. It's simple stuff, but the difference is the things that you guys sell versus what I buy at Walmart, they're not even in the same game. The stuff that you guys sell is legit.
We can sell the stuff Walmart sells, synthetic stuff, and the bottle costs more than what they're selling. With us, these products, some of these products are costing us $30 a bottle, like DNA Force, okay? I mean, so there's cost because it is the highest rated.
If you're taking a nitrate, like you were talking about the Nitric Boost, well, that is going to vasodilate. So when you're vasodilated, yeah, you're going to be pitching a proper 10. The Vasobeat does the exact same thing. But it also helps if I've got a person who's got really poor perfusion, and I just want to get their blood flow going so that I can keep this wound from going septic and actually get some granulation going. Or I could throw all the medications at it. Not going to do a damn thing. The doctors see the patient for 10 minutes, write a prescription, and say, okay, come back in 45 days. And it's my job to actually go figure it out. And so I use a lot of the stuff that you guys have.
Thank you so much, and God bless you, Nurse Keith. We'll talk to you soon. Get his name and number.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
I know you deceived me, now here's a surprise.
Humanity is at a major crossroads, and author, TV host, Neil Oliver is knocking out of the park. He got cut off by the break, you know. They asked how 6 years ago when they banned me off the internet, how I stayed on air. We're on over 300 radio stations. We're still on those stations. Even though talk radio has faded some, it's still huge. We're on 50,000 watt stations. That's why we have breaks, folks. For everybody that's on X, why do you have breaks? Well, we're on 300 plus radio stations, over 100 TV and cable stations. So thanks for putting up with that. But you were getting to the point of, they thought the internet, and they admitted this, the social engineers would be our downfall to isolate us and control us. They thought locking us up in our houses for years would make us bow. And it definitely crushed some, especially our children, but it backfired overall. Complete that thought, and then you sent all these amazing questions I want to go over. The perilous state of the political class in the UK and Europe and the US with elections looming, the incessant push for war, genocide in Palestine, the demonetization of popular parties across Europe, the fall of the U.S. Republic, along with the fall of our freedom across the West, the criminal syndicates that run the world, the push for CBDCs and digital IDs and social credit. Neil Oliver, please continue.
Yeah, we've got plenty to talk about, Alex.
Yeah.
That's for certain. I think every force has an equal and opposite. And I think the psychopath, parasitic class, I think there's an anti-human agenda at play here, in no small part, because those psychopathic, parasitic entities don't get humans. They don't understand what it is to be human and alive. I don't think perhaps they've ever properly felt the texture of what it is to be, you know, a biological human being, which leads them into nonsense like transhumanism and all of the rest of it. This idea that the human animal, Mark One, is somehow become suboptimal, obsolete, ready for an upgrade. I think these are symptoms of a psychopathic class that doesn't understand people. And while they have been pushing and pushing and pushing to try and break people away from, turn people away from family, turn people away from community, turn people away from faith, make people ashamed of their national heritage, make people ashamed of their culture, make people ashamed of their religion. You know, this has been a sustained process that's been going on, not for years, not for decades, but for centuries. But I think against the expectations of those that have applied those pressures and used those tools, quite the opposite of what they intended has started to happen. And in the face of it, people are once again beginning to realize that they value family, that they want to have a partner that they love, that they want to raise children. So many people are rediscovering faith, or if not faith, so to speak, then at least an awareness of the transcendent. You know, that they're realizing that there's more to life than the material, that there's more to life than, you know, capitalism or any other political ideology that might be being forced upon us. So what I'm saying is that the pressure that's been brought to bear upon us as a species and also upon us as individuals has done what pressure exerted from all directions inevitably does, you know, but like let's say in relation to carbon, and that it produces diamonds. You know, those bright precious stones are created by pressure over time, and that's what's happening. And so I think people, there is a renaissance happening. I said earlier that I'm not particularly predisposed towards the notion of violent revolution, because I think violent revolution is just a tool of the elite. It's just taking advantage of people, exploiting the mob, and then casting them aside. What is much more required is a reawakening, which we're all talking about, or an awakening for the first time, a renaissance and a renewal. And I do genuinely think that that is part of what we are seeing happen around us. You know, people are reconnecting with the eternal verities. They're reconnecting with the truth, that they're realizing that they've been sold as happiness, which is constant,
and it's so awesome to interrupt when you just look at a sunset of the moon, or your children playing, or just cooking dinner, just the awesomeness of consciousness and this planet and human experience. And then you see what a joke Hollywood and the corporate media is. It's nothing. They're the losers that project their own hatred onto us. And you just lean back into God and infinity. And it's so empowering. It's ecstasy.
Don't you find that's exactly it? Don't you find my wife and I, we talk about that all the time. You know, we used to consume television and, you know, the stuff that was pumped at us, you know, this Kool-Aid that was pumped at us all the time. We were just docile consumers of it.
And I mean, just sitting on the back porch listening to bugs, you know, sing, or frogs, it's just ecstasy.
And almost more to the point, we've realized that we now find no sustenance, quite the opposite of any kind of nourishment or sustenance from the stuff that's being pumped at us. you know, and increasingly, Trudy and I find that what we get is from sitting outside in our back garden of a night with a fire pit lit, and we're just watching the flames, you know, lit around the logs, and we're aware of the fact that, you know, that we're blessed with three kids, and we're watching them go through the various stages of their evolutions. You know, they're going through the stages of their life, and the opportunity that we have had to be wrenched away, broken away, of necessity, from the nonsense, from the lies, from the two-dimensional pantomime, you know, bad makeup, bad set design, dodgy
lighting. So humanity is disconnecting from the inhuman matrix right now.
More and more of us, I think, yes, they are. And that's what is, I think people have been sold, the version of happiness that people have been being sold for from a time beyond the reach of memory almost. We've been sold a pup. We have been missold something as happiness, which is not happiness. Basically, what people have been sold, this, you know, you've got to get yourself to a point where you can buy more and more things. You can have multiple mobile phones. You can have multiple screens. You can have multiple cars. You can have multiple homes. You can have all of that is what people have been pushed towards. So many people are beginning to realize that that is not happiness. That is the equivalent of being drunk. Now, you know, many people, myself included, like a glass of wine and all the rest of it, and that feeling of inebriation. But you can't be like that all the time. That's alcoholism. That's destructive and useless. And that there is actually so much more to the texture of reality. There is so much more to what it is to being alive. Sadness actually gets a bad rap. We've lived for decades with people being told that if you feel even momentarily less than deliriously happy, you should get yourself to a doctor and get them to prescribe you some
pills. By the way, Neil,
pills.
I totally agree with you, because when I focus on infinity and humanity, there is a sadness in all the people we've lost and the future. There's a nostalgia. There's a mightiness. Because the feeling is so good, there's going to be sadness as the balance. Exactly. Deep sadness is like ecstasy. I don't know how to describe it. You're hitting the nail on the head right here.
It's because there's only a certain response to happiness. You know, being happy gives you a certain thing. But what people are being reminded of, and what is very necessary, is that the whole spectrum of emotions, the whole spectrum of experience, is what gives being alive meaning. So many things get given a bad reputation, up to and including grief. These are the experience.
No, I totally agree. I am my smartest.
It's a necessary.
I am my smartest. Interrupt because you're so on target. When I am sad or I am grieving is when I have my greatest thoughts.
Yes, and because that is what it is. That is what it is to be alive. It's to experience the full. It's to experience the full texture of it, and to experience the full spectrum of emotions. And so part of what has been being done to us by the same baddies that are seeking to do everything else to us at the moment is just to dumb us down and anesthetize us into this state of slumber. You know, Georg Gurdjieff, you know, Gurdjieff and Ouspensky, In Search for the Miraculous and all of that, you know, whatever you might think of him, he was a Russian mystic, you know, at large in the 20th century. But he pointed out way back, you know, during the First World War, that the human beings had a tendency to exist in a state of slumber. You know that way that you quite often you maybe jump in your car of a morning and you drive to work and you park up and then you think, I don't remember driving here.
Exactly.
I don't remember doing that. And in many parts throughout the day, I mean, if you think that you're maybe awake for 16 hours during the course of a day, but how much of that time are you actually paying attention? How many of those moments are you actually in? And some of that is in the nature of the human animal, but it's also something that's being we're imbibing that from those entities that want us just to be dumb and silent and unthinking and fearful and compliant and uneducated and unopinionated and not prepared to get up on our hind legs and say anything. This is they've tried to accelerate the entire species towards this dumb, unhealthy compliance.
So the sleeper must awaken.
But in so doing, they've woken us up.
The sleeper must awaken. I mean, here's an example. I woke up at 5 a.m. this morning, about an hour and a half before my wife and my other kids are moved out. They're older. Before my wife and my 7-year-old get up. So I get up at 5 a.m., drink some coffee. I go on the back porch. I live by a greenbelt and a creek and all this stuff. And I go out there for an hour in the dark, and I hike around with these big oak trees, and hawks are flying by and owls. And I was like, this is better than red carpets, better than the hottest woman, better than anything. Just that hour I had out there, literally as the sun started to come up in the woods. And that's what they're trying to disconnect us from, because there's nothing they have that can even begin to the interfacing with God's universe.
This is for me. I mean, I'm all for choice, and freedom of expression and all of the rest of it. But the transhumanist movement, I mean, I remember, I've read about Marvin Minsky and Doug Engelbert, having conversations way back in the 60s where one would say, we're going to make the machines conscious. We're going to do all this for the machines. And Doug Engelbert said, what are you going to do for the people? Which is the question. What are we going to do for the people? So as long ago as the 60s, it was manifesting, it was crystallizing that there was a group out there who believed, for all of their anti-human reasons, that the human experience, being human, being biological, being flesh and blood, being a creature that just by dint of being conscious in the universe was aware of the transcendent. There were those technocrats, those fledgling technocrats, that thought even then that wasn't good enough to be, to be a biological flesh and blood human being. And so they have devalued all of that. And that is where we are. But because they've done that, I think they've done us a favor by trying to persuade us that it's technology this, technology that, that there's a technological fix for everything, that you can have a neural link in your brain that's going to connect you to the whatever, to the World Wide Web or whatever. And thank God, because by doing that, they have made us think, no, as things stand, we have barely paddled a dugout canoe out onto the Pacific Ocean of the unknown of consciousness. We were only just beginning to realize what it is to be conscious, what our potential is, every single one of us. And this drive to get us all herded into 15-minute cities, to put us under surveillance from cameras and satellites and drones, to take control of our transactions with central bank digital currencies so that they can make, in real-time decisions about, whether you can buy that or go there or make that decision for yourself. It's because they've tightened the screws. I think there were various things happened. I think in 2016, in America, a majority elected Donald Trump. In Britain in the same year, a majority elected or chose by the biggest plebiscite in British history to leave the European Union. Those were two things that were off the script of the psychopathic parasites. It took them by surprise. And everything that's happened then, COVID, war in Ukraine, all of the rest of it, has been this sustained punishment beating to put the democratically minded people back in their boxes. And because of it, they were panicked in that moment. And they've tried to tighten the screws too quickly, something they had been doing slowly and subtly. They've tried to do in a hurry over the last 4 or 5 years. And in so many ways, they've made this break for the tape. They've tried to breast the tape and get to where they wanted to be. And in so doing, right in that last final act, they've blown it. And too many of us have seen what they're doing, and we're wakening up to all of it. You see all across Europe, people are voting for populist parties. They're voting in increasing numbers for people that are talking about secure borders. They're talking about, taking care of a religion that has served Europe well for the best part of 2,000 years. They're talking about, championing the family, doing something about falling birth rates, giving people a voice, encouraging people to think, making sure that people aren't afraid to voice their opinions. And that's and the tractors' revolts, the farmers' revolts, the truckers' revolts in Canada, all of these things, those baddies have inadvertently triggered. And by God, they've got a tiger by the tail now.
No, I totally agree with you. And in the time we have left, I want to invite you back in soon. Just big picture, the globalist people are turning against them. You see a Bill Gates video on X or Instagram, there'll be 10 million views and 50,000 comments. And I read for like an hour and can't find one comment for him. People really get who the baddies are now. That's only part of the equation. But what do the baddies do to try to maintain control? I think people need to understand the danger of that.
Well, I think we already see the outline sketch of it at the very least. It's about surveillance. It's about taking control of money. I think what will inevitably happen are a series of terrifying, and they will be frightening, false flags. You know, false flags of the stock and trade of these people. The sinking of U.S. Maine that kicked off the Spanish-American War at the end of the 19th century. The false flags that were used to provoke Vietnam, 9/11. All of the we know they've got a playbook. They've got a worn out playbook, and I would counsel people to be prepared to get frights. There will be big, spectacular frights between now and the end, between now and the end of the paradigm that's been dominated by these psychopaths. So be ready for that. I suspect there will probably be an attempt, possibly successful, to bring down the economies. Some kind of global economic collapse, possibly that will make 1929 look like a Vickers Tea Party. I think there could be a so-called cyber attack, bring down the internet, all of these things. I would just counsel people to be ready for some fireworks. But the point is, and war, and war again. Like Gerald Celente says, when all else fails, they'll take you to war, which is why they're turning up the temperature on Ukraine, which is why the missiles are flying all over the place, because that frightens people, and it makes people more inclined.
And they're clearly trying to push the Russians into an escalation.
But I've said it before and I'll say it again. They're not going to go, but they're dangling the sword of Damocles of nuclear war over people. But they won't do that, because these people with their trillionaire lifestyles and their holidays and they're not wanting scratches on their cars. They're not wanting their windows broken. They're not wanting their hair ruffled by the consequences of something as massive as real.
I agree. They don't want nuclear war, but they're pushing Russia in that position.
Well, at the moment, Putin, at least whatever people's opinions are of Vladimir Putin, goodness me, he appears to be operating like the grown up in the room. You know, if anybody seems to be operating like a grown up, you think what you like about him, love him, loathe him, or find yourself somewhere in between those two extremes. But I think there's been an element of restraint about Vladimir Putin.
Definitely.
In spite of all the provocation that's been flung at him, and most recently with these attack-ems, killing kids on a beach in Crimea and all of the rest of it. But they won't go to war. They will escalate that war, and they will. There's already noises in Britain, across Europe, about conscription. You've got an automated registration for young men.
They're gearing up the draft.
Young women into the draft. Well, who saw that coming? Well, anybody that's paying attention saw that coming, because if they not only will they take you to war, if they really want to upset people, they'll come after your kids. They came after the kids with near mandatory or mandatory vaccinations for babies and all of the rest of it. And if
that was my next question,
doesn't work for them.
Neil, in the time we have left, it's an amazing interview. You've alluded to this, but it's all coming out. Tens of millions dead from the shots. Causing Alzheimer's, infertility. It's all mainline news. We have politicians apologizing. Where do you see? Definitely Fauci and Bill Gates didn't expect that. This is blown up big in their face. Where do you think that's going?
My bottom line, my basic, is there's an anti-human agenda. The birth rates are falling all over the world. It's not just a Western problem, although it is a Western problem. You've got it in America, got it all across Europe, but it's happening in Asia, in Japan. It's all over the place, Singapore. People are not producing enough babies to reproduce themselves. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think there is an intention, a choreographed attempt to reduce the world's population slowly and then possibly more quickly, using whatever means to bring down the population. I think what's been set in train, I think that I was listening to Sucharit Bhagdadi, who's a German Thai clinician, research scientist, 3 years ago, who said in relation to the products that they were pushing as vaccines that this is gene therapy. This is going to this mRNA is going to change people's DNA, and we are going to pay dearly for doing this. And he was saying to his fellow clinicians and fellow physicians, in the name of all that's holy, in the name of all that's honourable, do not take part in pushing these products into human beings' arms, because this is the greatest crime against humanity that has yet been attempted. However, those products have been pushed into billions of arms, and it's the biggest experiment that's ever been imposed upon the human species. And in the years ahead and in the decades ahead, well, we're going to get the results of that experiment. But I think we all know where it's going. As you say, tens of millions already dead. Goodness knows how many people still alive, but have
and getting
have
into
their
the
lives
mindset
changed.
Of the globalists, they have this death cult. I guess it's the raw. They're mad at the public waking up. They want to use a virus for control. They want to kill people. They've already got the power. Why don't they just leave us alone? But they have this instinct to just attack.
You're dealing with people that are frightened. I think, you know, I consider myself just to be a reasonable guy. I'm an averagely educated, I'm just a common sense person. I think what we're looking at is a subset of people at the elite, a narrow group of people, possibly, you know, just thousands of people, maybe, thousands. I don't know, who are frightened. Their basic reaction is it's arachnophobic. You know, if you're arachnophobic and you're a full grown human being and you're confronted by a little spider on a white table or on the wall and you're so terrified by it, you have to kill it. It's a completely irrational, over the top response because you're frightened. That would be my analogy for the way these people.
I totally
are.
They're so scared of humanity's power and humanity taking control of their destiny. They want control. So it's just a simple arachnophobic response.
Yeah, they look at other people. If they're frightened of everything. They're probably frightened of their own shadows, but they are certainly frightened of other people. You know, up until 1800, there were only 1800. We reached a world population of 1 billion for the very first time, and then it took another 50 years to get to 2 billion, and then by now we're adding 1 billion people every 10 or 15 years, and for those anti-human people, the thing they're most afraid of is more and more people. I'm making assumptions about you, but I think people like you and me, we think the more people there are, it's like the more, you know, if you combine two elements, if you combine tin and copper, you get bronze. If you bring four elements together, the opportunities for all the things you can make with bringing four elements out of the 200 elements together, you know, it's enormous. It's numbers with more nothings than you can count. And likewise, with the more people you've got, the more solutions you've got, the more ideas you've got. You know, if they would just unleash the latent power that's out there, Nikola Tesla's suppressed ideas about free energy and all of the rest of it, if they would let free the actual potential of the Mark One human being and allow us individually and collectively to do what we're actually capable of, then you would see a whole new world. Then you would see a whole new realm of potential. But these people think perversely and conversely that the solution is hardly any people. That's their objective.
That's right. That's their
they
desperate.
The world
it's their
would be a
desperate
place if it was just them.
It's their desperate weakness. Like I believe in humanity. Yeah. I bet humanity. More people, more freedom means more innovation. We go to the stars. We do it all. Neil Oliver, I'm extremely impressed. Always impressed watching you. We love you. Everybody loves the work you're doing. How do people find your work? How do they find your books? How do they find everything, Neil Oliver?
Oh, well, gosh, follow me on at The Coast Guy. That's my Twitter handle. I've got my own podcasts that you'll see wherever you go looking for your podcast.
Neil Oliver's hold on, Neil, do five more channel. Minutes. I'm going to hold you. I got to go 2-minute break. I'm going to want you to finish up everything. Planet Neil Oliver, amazing mind. We'll be right back in 2 minutes. Stay with us.
Ultimate Fish Oil is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. And we know that fish oil has been one of the most popular, if not the most popular supplements for decades in the United States. Many people consume fish oil that they get at the grocery store, that they get at the pharmacy, but Ultimate Fish Oil from InfoWarsStore.com is a superior product. And there are so many different reasons why you should be getting this product from InfoWarsStore.com instead of the generic brands or the name brands at your pharmacy or the grocery store. Okay, so the first reason why you want to check out Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com is because there are studies that show that fish oil can help with things like lowering your blood pressure. It can also help with things like brain development. Studies have been backing that up for years. And finally, things like inflammation can also be reduced for those who consume fish oil. Now, Ultimate Fish Oil is not just your generic type of fish oil, but it is brought to you by InfoWars, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. So this targeted release fish oil not only helps your heart heart, helps your brain, helps with inflammation, but it keeps InfoWars on the air. Now, we know we are at a really fishy time in the history of the United States of America. And if you want to make a difference in your own life and your own health while simultaneously making a positive impact and difference in the world, then going to InfoWarsStore.com and getting Ultimate Fish Oil is a great way to fight the machine while fighting for your health. Visit InfoWarsStore.com today and get Ultimate Fish Oil now. Take the leap, grab the Ultimate Fish Oil, and let's show the world what you're truly capable of. The question isn't who's going to let you, it's who's going to stop you. Visit InfoWarsStore.com right now and get Ultimate Fish Oil.
In a world filled with uncertainty, you can prepare with InfoWars Life Select. Our storable food is not only delicious, but it's your first line of defense against food shortages and unpredictable times. Our high-quality meals are packed with the nutrition your body needs and packed for long-term secure storage. Whether it's a natural disaster or societal disruptions, ensure your family's future with InfoWars Life Select. Don't wait for the unexpected. Visit preparewithalex.com and stock up on storable food today.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.